Given your very strong description of consumerism, materialism, nihilism currently prevalent in the West, do you believe our efforts to create a new society in the West would be better directed in India? Maitri Veera Nagarjun will immediately declare, yes, come with me. It's not so simple. It's not so simple. Actually, India is, I think, people always have the idea of India as a deeply spiritual country. It's far more materialistic than the West, in many ways. What we call Indian religion, most of what we call Indian religion, is just consumerism with an inefficient economy. It's a consumerism believing not that, you know, if you get the economy moving correctly, you'll get the goods you want, but believing if you bribe the right God, you'll get what you want. India is a thoroughly materialist, consumerist society, just that most people are shut out from the benefits of it in the modern sense. What is special about India is that a very great figure, Dr. Ambedkar, saw the connection between political ideal and the Buddha Dhamma. And he is, in a way that's unimaginable in the West, unimaginable really probably today in any other part of the world, unimaginable in India, anywhere else, and probably can never happen again. But he represented for millions of people a basis of hope and confidence, and he justified it. India is full of Babas, tele-Babas we have now, gurus on the television. And most of them, you know, they eventually get, you know, exposed as having rooms full of gold and that sort of thing, like Sai Baba did recently. Such a Sai Baba. There's always gurus are being arrested or they're involved in politics and so forth. If you haven't been arrested, you're not a decent guru. Doesn't seem to affect people's faith, fascinatingly enough. The Indian capacity for faith is remarkable. Yes, so in a way, well, I'm saying I'm a critic of Indian society, just as I am of the Western society. I'm a critic, as we all should be, of all conventional society, everywhere. But in India, this great figure, who was a real political and social leader for millions of people, connected with the Dhamma, and made a connection for those millions with the Dhamma. And that's enabled a Dhamma change of a kind that's really difficult to imagine anywhere else. And we do need to take full advantage of that. And we're doing our best, but we need to do much more. And we certainly need the resources of manpower. We need especially the resources of money power. But there's a unique opportunity there. But general Indian society, increasingly, is not that different from the West. Metro society, as they call it, is consumerism rampant, individualism rampant, without the saving grace of the remnants of Christian ethics. I don't think, you know, I've railed against Christianity for so much of my life, but actually I've come to be quite grateful that we have got at least some restraining influence, some sense of social conscience and so forth. The Indian middle classes are characterised by their lack of social conscience. They can stand on a railway platform and ignore the suffering that's literally under their feet. So I think our efforts need to be directed wherever we are. Yeah, wherever we are. And society needs transformation wherever we are. And what we gain in the West is the extraordinary social fluidity that Western society gives us. And probably particularly British society, oddly. Especially we Brits, we're quite critical of ourselves. Until others are critical, that's another matter. You foreigners, you keep off our country. But Britain is a strange country. It's this British indifference to each other gives us lots of space. This sense that, you know, what other people do is their own business gives us lots of space. And I really do think it's probably impossible for our movement to have started anywhere else but in Britain in the 1960s. I think it'd be very difficult for it to start now, because in the 60s there was so much material well-being and such an easy economy. It'd be much more difficult now. And you could work relatively lightly, very simply, as it were. You could live simply. So yes, I don't think our efforts are directed better in India. I think we have to direct our efforts where we are, and we have to work together to link up with each other. And it's very clear that our international movement, the international character of our movement, gives us an enormous power. Just to take the example of India, the fact that we've got a movement that developed in the first place in Britain, just translated to India, means that we've got sort of a perspective on the Dhamma that developed in these very fluid circumstances of the West, nobody else has got. We've got a way of seeing beyond the particularities of the Indian situation that nobody else has got, and that applies everywhere. And then we get a reflection back. When Maitri Veer is us, here with us, he makes the occasional wry comment, which shows me something about me and our society. So we've got a way of kind of going beyond the particularity of nationality. We're able to start in Mexico with a form of the Dhamma that seems to appeal very, very strongly to something in Mexican culture. I think Mexico's, if we should put more effort in anywhere, it's probably Mexico. And I think we do need to be alert to these moments of opening. It's obvious that, for instance, quite recently in Paris, for some reason, there's been a sudden upsurge of interest in the way we approach things, which wasn't there for ages. We tried and tried and tried, and, you know, our Anglo-Saxon approach, it just didn't work. But maybe with French people coming in and so forth, Paris is one of our most vibrant places. So I think we do need to have this sort of strategic view. But in the end, we have to work wherever we are. And we have to work everywhere. The whole world needs the Dhamma. And our approach is, I still believe, quite unique. It's a uniquely balanced one, a uniquely clear one. It's taking into account a critical take on Buddhist history, which I don't see really well developed anywhere else. If you want to know more about what I'm talking about, read A Buddhist Manifesto, which has been very well received amongst other Buddhists, interestingly enough, at least some of them. So yeah, I don't think we should deflect our interest from the West to India. I think we should work in both. I do think we need to apply our efforts more fully to transforming Western society and to finding more ways of challenging it and transforming it and living out a different kind of life. But this relates back to what I've already said about challenging, well, taking Dhamma into family and work.